Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Consistently making your East Coast based fan base stay up starting from 10 p.m. and then going through overtime and shootouts and then ultimately losing is objectively funny. I gotta hand it to him there. I think really making the people who decide, all right, I'm not even gonna try on this one and just going to bed look smart.
What's up, everybody? What's brewing?
It's the Brews and Burns podcast. Hey, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast presented by Bruins diehards and PWHL Boston diehards, soon to have a name. DraftKings is a sponsor. Use code THPN. It's DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm Drew. I'm here with Chris. Here with Cam. What's up, fellas?
Yo, yo, yo.
Live yo, the dream yo. As always, buddy.
We were about to start, and then y'all got up to get some drinks, so... Anyone have anything they want to feature before we get into some Boston Bruins hockey?
Gold Peak sweet tea in a Kona ice temperature sensing cup.
Temperature. I like that it's temperature sensing.
Do the mountains turn blue?
It doesn't just change. It can sense it's, it.
Yeah, it senses whether it's cold or not. It doesn't actually change. No, it's one of those silly cups that they give you at the like shaved ice place that Isabel really wanted, the color changing cups, so we got them. Tasteability, it tastes like tea and sugar. Give it a 20. Drinkability, 20.
Nice. 2020, baby.
Very nice.
What a year, what vision.
Yeah, 2020 vision.
Cameron.
I'm drinking a tessellation here from Lone Pine Brewing Company. As Drew was able to scope out before the episode, I was pretty impressed with that through the cameras we have set up.
The tests. Mm-hmm.
We only have 15 seconds of that, Drew. No, this is good. It's checking in at a very respectable, I believe it's 8.1%. Yep, there it is. Nice New England style, very hazy IPA. A nice color to it. For 8%,
damned.
8%, it's still pretty drinkable. It's not overly hoppy. You know, you can definitely tell it's an IPA, but it's not too tough to get down, even if you're not necessarily an IPA fan, I would imagine. So, very good beer. Not overly citrusy. Nothing crazy standing out about it, but very reliable. Drinkability is going to be. I'm going to say an 18. Tasteability is going to be a 25. Good stuff. Shouts to Lone Pine. Hell and yeah. Their Mosaic Double India Pale Ale. Tessellation.
I here have something that's been in my fridge for over a year. It is the last of this bunch, and no one drank it because we all had some at like some get together, and everyone had like one or maybe half and was like, this is shit. Why did we get these? So without further ado, great advertisement for Fruit Smash. Super hard seltzer. It's an 8% seltzer.
Aren't those pineapple like the really sweet ones?
Flavored. This is like it's like a double IPA of seltzers. It's weird. I honestly forget. But you can follow them at Fruit Smash and use the hashtag sorry for seltzering.
That's oh, a boy. Choice. Yeah.
So I'm just taking one sip of this and then I'm switching to a chai tea latte from Starbucks because I'm fancy.
That was a great look, Drew.
It's just like straight. Actually, I won't.
Come back for more.
I might. Nope, it just hit my nose. All right. Tastability, 37% or 37, not percent. Jesus Christ. You can like taste the alcohol under the pineapple, which is just not great. I don't think seltzers were made to be over 5%. Drinkability, I'm going to say it's not as bad as I expected, so I'll give it like a 9 out of 37, but still, just, yeah, don't do it.
I think anything over a 5, you should be legally required to finish it. I think, like, if you're checking it at a 9, you know, I think
that's... I already feel it in my stomach right now, like a burning sensation. It's like battery acid.
It's a glowing review.
Yep. Follow them at Fruit Smash and told them we did not send you. so, yeah, we've talked about it a bit, but not super much, I suppose. Bruins, just, I don't know. Something keeps happening in that third period, and then they can't get it done in OT and the shootout. They're 8-14. When they hit overtime, 3-3 in the shootout. What are your guys' thoughts about this whole scenario, and where do you point fingers if there are fingers to be pointed? Because it seems beyond the point where you can be like, that individual player made a shitty play, and that's why we gave up the lead. It's like it's an epidemic in a way for them. What are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like I want to say it was Sean asked us a question like a few weeks into the season about giving up late goals, I want to say, and whether that was like an issue to be concerned about. And I was like, nah, it's fine. It's not going to stay like this forever. Like, I think it might've been empty netters at the time, but I was like, you know, it's we're going to regress back to the mean at some point. And I think God might be spiting me for that now. Cause what has it been now? 6 straight games to overtime, 7 out of 8. And it feels like all of them have included late blown leads, which are not going the Bruins' way. There's kind of two ways to look at it. On one hand, it's like, yeah, they keep blowing leads, and that's obviously bad. On the other hand, if you're, especially on a West Coast trip, you are getting points out of all these games, and the flawed NHL point system where you get half as much for losing in overtime as you do for just outright winning, it's not like it's really hurting them in the standings. Like, I think I've seen a lot of people who've been like, oh my God, they lost all these games in overtime, and they're still in first place. Like, how is that like the thing? That's kind of how it's a thing. I will need to reevaluate my take that they're just going to regress back to the mean, because it seems like the evidence is pointing elsewhere right now. That being said, I also would urge some caution. It's probably not as bad as it looks. At some point, it is kind of a coin flip in overtime. You know, the statistical anomalies like this do happen from time to time. And the certain corner of Bruins Twitter that I've seen calling for Jim Montgomery's head might have drank from the Kool-Aid a little bit too much. I think we got to take the wider context of a team that's still in first place and in a playoff spot after losing their top two generational centers. So obviously concerning at this point, but if it would be crazy to make any rash decisions, I would think based off that.
I got a couple of takes here. One take is that consistently making your East Coast based fan base stay up starting from 10 p.m. and then going through overtime and shootouts and then ultimately losing is objectively funny. I gotta hand it to him there. I think really making the people who decide, all right, I'm not even gonna try on this one and just going to bed look smart. And then my other take is that there isn't 3-on-3 overtime in the playoffs. So, I mean, that's not something you necessarily have to worry about, but you do have to worry about finishing games, you know, closing out third period leads and winning in 5-on-5 overtimes. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence here. I think there is a degree of luck to it, but also once you let that get in your head that like, oh, we're fundamentally broken in this situation, it does kind of become a mental block and an identity of the team. And as much as the guys in the room are going to deny it, it's hard to just totally block that out. So yeah, that's not the vibes that you want to carry into the playoffs. Luckily they got some time left to expunge those demons. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. We'll mention, Cam, you mentioned the, how they're still atop the standings and all. But the other teams have kind of closed in during this time. The Panthers are now within two. This is February 27th. So as of this morning, well, this is released, who knows, in May. But Florida's back by 2 points. Then they have two games in hand. Toronto's back 8 points, but they have three games in hand. So if they win those three, they're within 2 points. It felt like very comfortably that they're in the lead and not like necessarily a given they're going to win this division. Their fate was in their hands, right? Like they had control over that situation. And now they're in a situation where they got to see what other teams do. I'll also mention, just because I have all these stats in a Word doc, because I wrote an article about it. The record for the Bruins franchise record is 16 overtime losses in a season. That was in 05-06. The NHL record is 18 overtime losses in a season. Tampa Bay did it in 08-09, Panthers in 11-12, New Jersey in 13-14, and the Flyers did it in 2014-15. Panthers made the playoffs that year with 18 overtime losses. But I feel like once you get above, like, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, I feel like there's not a lot of teams that make the playoffs with that. But I will say, yeah, it's good they're getting points still out of it. It's better than having a collapse and losing in regulation. But yeah, they got to figure it out because this isn't sustainable in the playoffs where you're giving up late leads. But hopefully also, like, the caveat with the playoffs too is, you know, if it's so intense that it's almost like, I don't know, it's the mind frame to finish the job every single game. I think you go in with that. Whereas, I mean, I don't know for sure. You can't really call them out for being like too relaxed or just like, you know, nonchalant when they have a third period lead or something. But if that were a factor in any of those overtime losses and such, then I feel like that's not going to be there. But yeah. They need to. Montgomery said the other day they don't have a killer instinct right now, which is very, very spot on. they can't finish a game for their lives right now.
And to your point, Drew, I feel like momentum is such a volatile thing in the playoffs. I mean, think about last year, right? How high the vibes were going into that first round and after even those first couple games. And by the time game six was wrapping up, everybody was like, oh fuck, we're screwed kind of thing, you know? So as like the mindset and the sort of mentality there that Chris had mentioned is definitely present right now, but a few good wins heading into the playoffs, or hell, even a win in game one of the first round, you know what I mean? Like that dramatically can shift that mindset too. So thankfully it's late February, not late March, early April at this point. So there's plenty of time to right the ship before then. But even if some of those cracks are still there, I think, you know, it is very much a fresh slate come postseason hockey, as we saw last season. So, and also Chris's point, no more 3-on-3 overtime and definitely no more shootouts. So, two areas where the Bruins have struggled traditionally, I would say, not as much of a factor anymore. And also just in general, 5-on-5 play, I feel like tends to lend itself more to disciplined, structured teams, which the Bruins typically are. So definitely not hitting the panic button, but obviously not ideal to be blowing games in the third and then losing them in overtime by any means. You know what is ideal though, Drew?
Oh, what?
The fact that the Bruins and Bruins podcast is sponsored by DraftKings.
Wow.
Drew, did you know that hockey moves fast, but with the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers can bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Drew, your favorite part. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks in the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
Woo!
Thank you. Thank you.
We did it.
We got to get the old Bruins PA announcer to come on and give us a woo for, like,
but only after
just like
the
a
draft
sound effect. Yeah, only after.
Like, let him join the call, do it, and then kick him out.
Yeah. It's like, thanks. We just needed that 10-second recording. What else we want to talk about? We got to fill the air on the other side of the DK ad.
Well,
it's got to be mid roll.
I mean, there was, I think it was maybe The Athletic. Somebody came out with a trade proposal for Noah Hanifin that's been kind of kicking around. I believe it was Mason Lorai, Johnny Beecher, and there was one other piece. Yeah, it was Lacko. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, assuming Hanifin's a situation where you can sign him, right, and keep him maybe longer term, then I'd consider that. At the beginning of the season, I was like a little bit hesitant to trade Beecher, despite some people talking about, you know, come trade deadline, he could be a piece you can move. Now I'm feeling like you could. Lorai is the only guy that I'm kind of like, out of the youngsters, I'm kind of like, I really want to see how he pans out, just because the Bruins currently have a need at defense. And I mean, Hanifin's proven, you're pushing for a cup, it makes sense. But who the, I don't know, I'm a little iffy on it. But if you can sign Hanifin and have him long term at like a decent deal, then sure. I don't think we need another guy that's like making the money that McAvoy and Lindholm are making, unfortunately. But I don't think we have the cap space for that, let alone, you know, want to pay that. But
we don't this year, but we do next year.
Yeah. We do have some next year. There's a lot of players on this team that just aren't coming back. Like, you can already kind of see the writing on the wall. There's a lot that are going to slip away to free agency. But yeah, I do it. But Lorai is still like a little bit of a concern for me.
Yeah, I feel like as far as prospects go, the only one that's like really untouchable for me is Patra. Like, I don't want to trade Lysell. I would hear out the right offer, maybe not for Hanifin. But Patra is the one that's like, hey, you know, no realistic trade that was probably going to happen, I would be okay with letting him go. So if it is Beecher, Lorai maybe, I'd be interested in it. Again, the caveat there is that you'd have to be able to sign Hanifin. I want to be on, you know, I don't think this team is worth bringing on a rental, at least not in that sense, if you're going to give up that much. But I would at least listen.
Would they have to take cap? Would they have to take any of Hanifin's cap?
I don't know how much.
Because that usually factors into a deal.
Deal is, but I think that those three guys together are nowhere near enough to make up the difference. But I think this would be assuming maybe putting Lindholm on LTIR.
Right. Yep.
Lock was only 574 for cap hit, so that's not doing much for you.
No. gauging the reaction from Bruins fans versus non-Bruins fans that I saw on Twitter, looks like maybe that offer is somewhere between the rental cost and the full extension cost. So it doesn't really make sense to me to give that up for a rental, and I think it would be real light for, you know, a 7-8 year extension. for Hanifin. I think some of that's symptomatic of Bruins fans overrating their prospects. Bruins pretty consistently over the last few years have been rated as one of the worst prospect pools in the league. I think the casual Bruins fan overrates, you know, so many young players come through and play a couple of games and, you know, they watch them and fall in love and are like, oh, this is great. The Bruins have such a great system. And I think maybe the league-wide rankings underrate the Bruins a little bit. I don't know enough about the other teams' prospect pools to say that, but I think Johnny Beecher, like, he's fine. He's plenty nice. He's going to be an NHL player. I think the upside there is you're hoping he turns into Trent Frederick. And I mean, I think Trent Frederick's a pretty underrated player in the league. Maybe that's just me overrating him, but I think if that's your, what you're hoping Johnny Beecher turns into, then, you know, I'm okay giving that guy away for a proven, still young, good two-way defenseman who just happens who just happens to be from the area. And as far as Lowry, I don't know, that like he does have some great stick skills and puck skills, and those are things that you like to see from a big defenseman, but so far I haven't seen him use his size in any sort of meaningful way. He is extremely slow skating, and that's something that guys, especially lanky big guys, don't develop. He probably will develop better instincts and become a better defensive defenseman over time, but I don't know. We've seen a lot of guys come through the Bruins system and we're like, all right, this is the next guy. Like, this is the next Bruins guy. And it's really only happened for a couple of guys. So I don't know. I think the average Bruins fan probably overrates the future impact of Mason Lowry. I like him. I think he's fine. I don't think he's ready this year. And I don't even know if he'll be ready next year. He could be the next Jakub Zboril. Hopefully not. But, you know, I think that's a guy that you should be willing to give up for a player of the quality. And, I mean, there aren't a lot of other players available. So I don't know. Like, well, I understand people saying like, yeah, let's wait until next year and, you know, don't go all in this year. Doesn't make sense to go all in for a team that doesn't have it, that can't win the cup. But, you know, you're talking about next year is not guaranteed. This year, the Bruins are first in the East right now. We were just talking about that. This is, they shouldn't just throw away this year. I feel like, yeah, maybe don't go all in for mid players and try and beef up the middle of the lineup for a team like this. But if you can go for a, you know, for a top tier guy like Noah Hanifin, I would say go for it. And yeah, you have the potential to extend him, especially given, you know, where he's from. I wouldn't overrate that. I don't think he's going to take a hometown discount for a team that he has no loyalty to, but you know, you have a better chance of extending him if you trade for him. And if you don't trade for him, maybe he ends up on the Lightning and gets extended there. So
yeah, that's kind of the other hidden equation, part of the equation there. But yeah, I was wrong about Lauko, by the way. He's 787, which is still not doing much for you. Under a mil. Yeah.
Now my only concern with Beecher is you said he, you know, Trent Frederick is a possible comparison potential wise. We won't have three players out of him. John B. and Chur. That doesn't
the whole
now we gotta try him. Which one was that? B or Chur? I think that was a Chur kind of play. Or Cher.
Share, exactly. You'd be pushing Todd Angeli for a job there.
Share would have made that play out of context.
Share would have had
believe
that.
That Share would have made that play.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Unless we got any closing arguments. Crickets. All right. Everyone, thanks for listening. DraftKings code THPN. Check out our website, brewsandbruins.com, Instagram at brewsandbruins, Twitter at brewsandbruins, Gmail, brewsandbruins@gmail.com. Thanks. Leave us some notes.